guess what the Lord has been trying to say to us.
I guess what the Lord's been trying to say to us.
Since last night.
Since last night.
Is put the world.
Is put the world.
Out of your mind.
Out of your mind.
And think about Jesus.
And think about Jesus.
And let's have church this week.
Then let's have church this week.
Amen. Amen.
All right. If you have your Bibles.
If you have your Bibles. I'd like for you to turn.
To the book of Exodus.
To the book of Exodus.
Chapter 2.
Chapter 2.
Verses 11.
Verses 11.
And 12.
And 12.
It's a little different.
It's a little different.
In the opening text.
In the opening text.
But I promise you.
But I promise you.
We'll get to where we're going.
We'll get to where we're going.
Bless
him, God. He's got to turn because those mess him up. Go.
The Bible says.
The Bible says.
In Exodus.
In Exodus.
Chapter 2. Verse 11.
Verse 11.
And it came to pass.
And it came to pass.
In those days. When Moses.
Was grown.
That he went out.
Unto.
His brethren. And looked.
On their burdens.
And he spied
an Egyptian
smiting
an Hebrew
one of his brethren. And he looked this way
and that way.
And when he saw
that there was no man.
He slew
the Egyptian
and hid him
in the sand.
Thank you.
You may be seated.
Bless him, God. Bless him, Lord.
Thank you, Father.
Help him, Jesus.
You
pray for him.
When someone
thinks
of Moses,
they normally
think
of the great prophet
who parted the Red Sea. Moses
is considered
one of
the greatest
prophets
that God
has ever
raised up.
Amen.
The Bible says
in Deuteronomy
34:10,
and there arose
not a prophet
since in Israel
like unto Moses
whom the Lord knew
face to face.
But have you ever considered
that Moses
was imperfect.
He had thoughts
and feelings
just like
you
and me.
He was adopted
like many children are
in today's culture.
He found out
about his heritage
later in life.
And the Bible says
in Hebrews
that by faith
Moses chose
to suffer
the afflictions
of the slaves
rather than
enjoy
the pleasures
of sin
for a season.
So, all this
So while all of this was happening,
one day
Moses saw
an Egyptian
smiting
a Hebrew,
one of his
brethren.
Moses being raised
in both
cultures
knew
that this was wrong.
And so
he rose up
against
the Egyptian
and he slew
him.
Moses
committed
the unthinkable
sin.
Moses
committed
murder.
That doesn't sound like
a prophet.
He got angry.
And
anger is a sin.
By the way,
the Bible says,
if you hate
somebody
without a
cause,
you have committed murder
already
in your own heart.
And
Moses
acted out
the hate
that was already
in his heart.
And he
killed
an Egyptian.
He murdered.
He sinned
against God.
But to make matters worse,
he tried
to hide
his
own sin.
But
no matter
how
hard
you try
to hide
from God,
you cannot
hide
your sin
from God.
Young people,
God sees
and he knows
everything,
even if
your parents
have no clue
what
you're involved in.
God
sees
everything,
and God
knows
you cannot
hide
your sin
from
God.
And
Moses
knew
that
he
knew he was going to be arrested.
And
so
he
ran
and
fled.
He
tried
to not
only
hide
his sin,
but
now
he's running,
saying,
I didn't do it.
Hey.
All
we need
to realize
we
cannot
hide
from God,
and
we can't
run
from
God either.
Have you
ever
done that?
Have you
ever
committed
an unthinkable
sin?
Something
that goes
against
your
nature
and
your attitude?
Have you
ever done that?
Have you
tried?
Are you
trying
to hide
your
sin
and
wish that it had
never happened?
Are you
trying
to
hide
from
God?
Are you
trying
to
hide
your
pornography?
Are you
trying
to hide
your
social drinking?
Are you
trying
to hide
things
from
God?
No
matter what,
it
will
be
exposed.
No matter
how
deep
you bury
the
body,
eventually
the
bones
or the
evidence
will
come up,
and it
will
be
exposed,
and
you will lose
your
reputation,
and you will labeled as something for the rest of your life. Moses in Egypt was labeled a murderer for the rest of his life. The bones and the evidence will come up. Jesus said, the light from heaven has come into the world, but men love darkness rather than light, lest they should come to the light, and their deeds shall often be reproved. And that word reproved means exposed, opened up, and revealed. You can't do anything about your past. The past is the past. The only thing you can do is learn from your mistakes and try to make a better future. Moses tried to run. There's a lot of young people trying to run from God. There's a lot of adults that are trying to run from God. My mom and my wife read a Facebook post about a young man who is trying to get in to country music, and he knows good and well that he shouldn't be involved in that stuff. His daddy is a preacher. He knows better. And I told my mom, I said, he's running from something. I don't know if he himself is called to preach or not. But I said, he is running from something. There is many people that go off the wall crazy because they try to run from God. But you cannot run from God because God is everywhere. The same God of the Hebrews was the same God of the Egyptians and the Midianites. You cannot run from God, because God is everywhere. His presence is in the bar. His presence is in your school. His presence is in your room. His presence is in the church house. His presence is everywhere. You cannot hide from God. So Moses ran in fear and in guilt. But he runs to Midian. The name Midian, it means covering. So while Moses tried to hide his sin in the background, behind the scenes, God was covering his sin. There is a difference and hiding
your sin,
and God covering your sin. There is a difference between God covering your sin and you hiding your sin. Preacher, where are you going to find your covering at? Well,
at the well.
At the well.
The same place.
The same place.
That Moses.
That Moses did.
Moses
came to the well to find refreshment, but instead
found
forgiveness. There is only one place where you can find forgiveness, and not only have your sin cut and have your sins covered, but have them completely washed away. And it is at the well, of grace, at the well of mercy, who is Jesus Christ. Moses' life
started
to get better
after
he came
to the well.
Your life
will
start to get better
after
you come
to the well.
And have your sins forgiven
and washed away.
Amen.
And look.
God blessed him. God gave him.
God give him
a wife.
And God give him
a son.
And a family.
And a daughter.
And the murderer
became
a shepherd.
Complete. And total change.
You were once labeled
as something,
as something bad. But after you came
to the well,
you're labeled
as
something much greater and much better. I whole lot rather be labeled as a fanatical Christian for Jesus than a murderer in the world. I'd rather be labeled as one of his own than to come than a child of the devil. I'd rather be labeled child of God.
And that was a new thought.
Praise the Lord. Blessing God.
Then finally
came
the day
when Moses,
wandered
in the wilderness
out
of personally,
I personally
believe
that he was looking
for
a lost lamb.
Come on. Come on.
And he wonders
into the backside, of the desert.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he sees,
a bush.
That is on fire. Burning. But not consumed. It would have looked similar
to a wildfire.
Right. In California.
Like in California.
But it didn't move.
From tree to tree. It stayed
right there.
Come on.
And the bush
was not,
consumed.
And
out of
the bush,
he hears
a voice,
calling out
his name.
Moses. Needs no interpretation.
Touch it.
Moses.
Come on.
That's
right. Can you hear?
Can you hear? Him calling out your name. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is
holy
ground. There's something
about
when you see
the
fire
of
God
for
the first time.
It
will
change
your whole life
forever.
I believe
there
are some
Christians
that need
to
have
a
Moses
experience
and see
the
fire
of
the Holy
Ghost
for
the
first time.
We
need
some
people
in
order
to
have
a real
revival.
We
need
to get
a hold
of
something
that
is real.
Consume you
and
change
your
life
forever.
It'll
help you to go on
even
when you
feel
discouraged.
Whenever
I feel
discouraged
and I feel
like
giving up,
and
that's happened
a
lot
just
recently
in the
ministry.
I think
back
to the
time
when
I was
in
Kansas City And I felt something that I had never felt before or since. And it was the fire of the... I know God is real. I've been to that mountaintop.
I have seen
his fire. I have seen God's power. I know God is real. I may sound crazy to you, but if you ever experience the fire that I have experienced, it will change your life. The Bible says that an angel called out to Moses, but based upon the writings of the Old Testament, I believe that the angel was actually Jesus Christ, because when Moses asked for his name, he didn't say Michael or Gabriel, but he said, I am that I am.
That's him.
And God called him to lead the people out of Egypt. God called him to do something that was bigger than he himself. Young people and adults, God is calling you to move up higher. God is calling you to do something that is greater than you yourself, greater than you could ever imagine. And for this commandment,
Moses
tried to come up with an excuse as to why he was imperfect
and
not fit for the job. But for every excuse, God had an answer. And these are my points right here.
Moses said, who am I?
Who am I?
That I
should lead the children of Israel out of bondage. And God said,
certainly
I will be with thee. And this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. He was saying, Moses, don't worry about who you are or who you used to be, because I don't need you, but you need me. But he said, I certainly, that means not just I will be with thee, but he said, certainly, affirmatively, yes, I will be with thee. He'll be with us as long as we do it for His glory. Then in the name of Jesus, He will be with us. That means we don't have to be afraid of what others might say or think or accuse us of. We don't have to worry about our past or who we used to be, but it's all under the blood. It's all covered. It's all about who He is and how great He is. And if God be for us, who can be against us? Moses said, if the children ask me, who sent thee? Whom shall I say? Has sent me. And God said, thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, I am that I am has sent me unto you. God was referring to His Hebrew name, Yahweh. Yahweh is Hebrew for Jehovah. The name Jehovah means self-sustaining. That means God is good all by Himself. That means He is the I am that I am, not the I was or not that I will be, but I am that I am. He is the God of heaven and earth. He is our Father, which art in heaven. He is our Creator. He is the open door. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the straight gate. He is the bright and morning star. He is He who was dead and is alive forevermore. He is the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the earth. He is the Light, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He is the Light of the world, shining in the midst of the darkness. He is the still, small voice. He is everything. He is the manna. He is the water. He is our provider. He is the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire. He is whatever you need Him to be. He is I am. that I am. Whatever you need him to be, he is.
Amen.
The third excuse that Moses had. They will not believe me.
And for this
excuse,
God said,
what is in thine hand?
Moses
had given up his royalty in Egypt.
He had
nothing.
All that he had was his sentence.
Was a shepherd's staff.
Go ahead.
And a shepherd's staff.
A shepherd's staff. In his hand.
It's just a stick.
It's just a stick.
But it would have looked something similar to this.
But it would have looked something similar to this.
Come on, preacher.
There's actually two. That he had. One
with a hook on it.
And then this.
The hook. The one with the hook.
Is used.
For leading.
And tending.
To the sheep.
But this one.
Is used for discipline.
A rod. In Moses' hand. It's just a stick. But if you read.
Later on.
In the chapter.
It says.
And Moses.
Returned.
To Egypt.
Having.
The rod.
Of God.
In his hand.
But how
did it turn
from a stick
to the rod
of God?
The Bible says
that he cast it
on the ground.
Did you see that?
Whatever
was in
his hand
was cast
at
the feet of Jesus. Whatever was in his hand
was
cast
at
the feet of Jesus. You know what I didn't have? I didn't have anything to bring him. All I am is just a crippled boy in a wheelchair. But all I have I gave unto him,
and
I laid it at his feet. He can take whatever you have. And as long as you give it to him, he can use it.
Amen.
for his glory and his purpose to not only
discipline,
but to lead and to tend all at the same time. Young people, you have in your hands
smartphones.
But instead of using it for your own benefit, why don't you use it for God's glory?
Amen. Yeah.
Because a phone in your hands is just a phone. But a phone in the hands of God can be used as a powerful witnessing and study tool. I'll illustrate. Everybody get your Bibles. Hold your Bible up.
In the air.
Hold them high. Hold them high.
What is in?
What is in?
Thy hand.
To some, it's just a book. But it is in the hand of God an atom bomb that is greater and causes more explosions in his power. What is in thy hand? You have a weapon. You have a sword. You have a weapon of mass destruction. Whatever is in your hand, give it to God and let God use you for his glory and for his purpose.
Amen. Amen.
And the last excuse really hits home to me.
Moses said, I am slow of speech. Lord,
how can you use me? And for this excuse,
God said,
who hath made
man's
mouth? Or who maketh
the
deaf
or
the dumb or the seeing or the blind? Have not I the Lord? And when I was 12 years old,
I stood
before
that same God.
And I said,
Lord,
how can you use me?
I can't talk.
Very good.
Come on, preacher.
I am slow of speech.
And God said,
who made?
Who made?
Your mouth.
Your mouth.
Who made?
Who made? Your mouth.
Have not I. The Lord.
The Lord. He does all things
perfect,
perfect,
and in His will.
And in His will,
He takes
the foolish things
to confound
the wise
and the weak
and the base things
to confound
the strong. What I'm trying to say, young people, is if God can use
an
imperfect
murderer
like Moses,
then what makes you think
that he can't use
someone?
Like you. We need to give all of. For if we give all of
our
imperfections
to the perfect God,
to the perfect God, He will
use us
for His glory. If God can use
a
crippled up
man
in a wheelchair
that
can't talk very good, then what makes you think that He can't use
someone
like you? Can't you hear
the
voice
of
the perfect God
saying
to you,
now
go,
and
I will
be
with
thee.
As heads are bowed.